survive if I let you.
He is the human suplex machine.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome.
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. I love this reaction show
for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right, all right. What up, what's up, what's up? Happy SummerSlam week, all you wrestling fans and you Ring of Honor fans getting ready for their big show over at the old baseball stadium at Coney Island. So, but it's big right here in New York City. Basically, WWE is kind of taking over. We are on the right outside where we're doing this show right here, where I do my show, is right in Midtown Manhattan. Very close to South Brooklyn. That's over there where the Barclays Center is at. So where WWE is invading. Well, last night they invaded Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I'm sure they'll be heading their way, starting to rock and roll this week. We're going to go over Raw in this show, just some thoughts, opinions, viewpoints, things that stuck out. Going to have Seth jump in here. Seth, please say hi to all of our beautiful fans.
Hello, beautiful fans.
You know, you're becoming quite the cult hero on the old Twitter. I mean, how does it feel to be at this new stardom you have?
Oh, I just want to thank everybody, my parents. I want to thank thank God.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for getting new glasses. You have some pretty cool looking glasses. I like those glasses.
Oh, thanks.
Those are new.
No.
Okay. So they look brand new.
Like, wow. You just noticed for the first time.
Usually you're wearing like those Elton John glasses, right? Those round ones.
Yeah. The blue tint. Yeah, exactly. With my hairpiece. You don't know, yeah. I also took my hairpiece off too.
Yeah, well, I was using the old Periscope machine and I had you on there and you cut a promo to Kung Fu Jabba. And you scared some of the Periscope fans of HPM because they said, "Woo, you're bald and you look mean." Well, not mean, but you're bald.
Didn't say mean?
No, they didn't say mean. I thought you looked very mean. I was very intimidated. I can tell you that much.
That made my day.
Yeah, so, dude, by the way, when we're done here, I got stuff to do at home because I got the guy coming. My pool, let me just tell you before we get into this whole Raw thing, some personal stuff. I got, you know, pool, my in-ground pool, right? So, it's great. It's a great pool, nice kidney-shaped pool. You know what a kidney-shaped pool is, right?
Shaped like a kidney?
Correct. And it's like a kidney bean. No, but anyway, and it's great. It's a great pool. It's got a little waterfall action going. It's awesome. My family loves it. I've had it for years. And it's never, ever, I've never had to put really any money into this thing. It's been just self-running. Dude, the past like 4 weeks, something goes wrong with this pool. It's a money pit. I'm going to call one of my uncles, get a cement mixer, and I'm going to dump cement in this friggin' hole and get finish this pool off. This costs me tons of money. Everything. I need a new liner. The guy tells me, right, you need a liner at the end of the year. The year started. This is the beginning of the summer when I opened the pool. He's like, you need a new liner. I'm like, dude, you just filled the pool with water. Why don't you tell? Yeah, you need a new liner. What's that? Because that's like $1,100, $1,200, whatever the hell he said. Everything's $1,100, $1,200, everything. So then he opens the pool. This is weeks, month and a half ago. He opens the pool, and I text him. I said, bro, the thing's not running. There's something going on. There's alerts coming on. The motor blows on the pool. The motor.
How many years old is your pool?
25 years old. No, I'm joking. No.
It's like he had a good run.
He had a pretty good run. I'm bitching. No. It's only, I don't know, 7 years, six and a half, 7 years old, right? Everything's starting to kick on it. He comes, he puts the motor in. It's another few bucks. Let's put it that way, right? For the motor. Then I'm like, okay, what is going on with this? This is 2 weeks after he puts the motor in. I see this thing about... it's something called a pool pilot. I have this thing called, this is really going to get in depth, but whatever. It's called a chlorinator.
This is going to be the biggest episode of all time.
No, but it's just cool. Anybody who has a pool or cares about pools will get it. If not, this is pretty interesting. So it used to be always pools with chlorine, right? You know, chlorine pool.
I'm familiar with chlorine
okay,
pools.
Okay, cool.
Now aren't they all chlorine pools?
Yes, but there's also now a salt system gimmick. You know what this is?
Saltwater pools, yeah.
Correct. So sure. Now initially my pool was built, it was a chlorine pool. So then the guy schmoozes me into getting this chlorinator gimmick, which was a good idea because then it turns the salt into chlorine in the pool.
The chlorinator?
It's a chlorinator. It was a vice versa. Whatever.
Is he like sunglasses on? He's like, welcome to the chlorinator.
I am the chlorinator. No, And so basically, when it's used a salt system pool, the water's less hardened, and the kids' eyes don't burn when they go in there, which I always thought was entertaining. When the kids are going to the pool, and they come out, and their eyes are burnt red. That's what happened to me when I was a kid. I go to my uncle's pool, they're throwing shock in the pool. Hey, you're good. They throw liquid shock. Like, oh shit, my arms are burning, my skin, my feet's falling off. Yeah. So anyway, but the kids are soft today. You know how it is. But so so now I got this salt system, right? So this was great. The salt conversion gimmick was great. A lot of money to put in. I did that a while ago. But it's got this little thing, like a little digital output, gives you information. And I see this warning signal. Sell. Warning signal. Sell. It kept saying C-E-L-L. I'm like, what is it? I text the guy. I go, bro, what does this mean? He goes, oh, that's a problem. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding, bro. I know it's a problem.
1,100, 1,200.
Well, 900. So he goes, you need a new cell.
Get on sale.
Yeah. The whole cell is gone. He goes, you know what? Unscrew it. He's texting me. Unscrew it. And I'm like, dude, this is what I pay you for. He's texting me directions on what to do to check if the cell is busted. Sure enough, I do it. About blow my bicep out again because it was so tight, the little PVC gimmick.
You have a wrench or something?
But no, I use my hands, bro. I don't need a wrench.
My hands are my wrench.
My hands are my wrench. So I do it. And
the human wrench machine.
And it's like, yeah, that doesn't sound good. This is all via text, bro. I mean, the guy's coaching me via text on my pool. Boom. He comes the next day, replaced the cell. Another eight, whatever, $900. All right, good, great, no problem. So that's done. Everything's good. My wife's like, yeah, the pool. Everything's going great with the pool. I go, yeah, it's going real great. And then and then last night, I noticed that my vacuum, it's a Polaris. You familiar with that?
The Polaris vacuum?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, the vacuum runs on the water, the pump of the water of the pool.
Why would I be familiar with that?
I don't know. But anyway, so that the vacuum's blown out. That's like $1,500 for the freaking vacuum. So I got to get a new vacuum that's not ran by the water in the pump. It's an electric vacuum. This is an updated vacuum. He says, bro, you got to get the new vacuum. You're using the old vacuum.
It's a caddy of vacuums.
You got to get the new vacuum that plugs in.
That's great.
How much is that? Well, $1,100. All right.
How's your electric bill?
So it's kind of, yeah, really. Well, now that's a whole other thing. That's going to happen soon. So I got to go and deal with him when he gets to the house on that. And that's my run down on the pool. And then I go in the house. I keep telling my wife. She's trying to watch the Big Brother. You watch Big Brother?
I don't.
I'm a big, big brother fan.
Big brother.
For a long time. I keep it in the CBS family, brother. You know what I mean? That's how I am. My boy Chris Roach is one of the main executive producers there, former WWE writer, Chris Roach. And Chris, the folks at Big Brother do a great job on that. And I want to have Jesse Godders on one day because, you know, he was a participant twice on there. And an expert on the show, and I want to talk to Jesse about it. And wrestling fans will dig it if you want. A lot of wrestling fans dig Big Brother. So she's watching Big Brother. She's watching like the After Dark. We TiVo it. So it's like the hidden camera gimmicks that are in the middle of the night. You're looking at them like I have five heads. So she's watching that, and then they're talking on this thing about women. The people in the house are talking about beer, like if chicks. You know, what kind of beer is it ladylike for a woman to drink or some crap like that? And I said to my wife's not a beer drinker. She's more of a red wine drinker. I said, you know, I said, is this chauvinistic? I don't think women should be allowed to drink beer. She said, yeah, that's a little chauvinistic.
A little bit.
You know, I go, yeah, I think I want to open this up to my listeners. She goes, no, don't say that. You know, I said, no, I'm going to. And I just did. And I don't know, Seth, your take on this.
You didn't go to college, did you?
I said I did go to college.
You did?
But I was in a dorm full of athletes, and we never allowed girls in the dorm.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What? Really? And you didn't give them beer?
Well, we were, look, college don't count, dude.
Oh, all right. That's a whole different thing. Now you're just making rules up
on
the fly.
No, of course, that's my gimmick. Yeah. We've done fantasy drafts. Yeah, sure. Mike Taneo tell you how I make rules up on the fly.
True.
But the thing is...
All right, so college excluded. In college, girls can drink beer.
Okay, how about this? Moms. People that have families, they should be drinking beer.
No, moms shouldn't really be drinking anyway.
No, they should ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
No.
No, but they no, does your girl drink beer?
Nah, since she was breastfeeding and now she's pregnant again, so no.
TMI right there.
So, you know, my son's too. She was breastfeeding
TMI.
For a while. Really? Breastfeeding's too much?
I don't know. You know, it's a little...
She's not drinking beer. No, she likes Heineken, cold Heineken.
That's beer, bro.
Yeah.
That is definitely...
But she's not into it, though. She's like buying cases of
your
beer.
Your girl's tougher than me. I like Heineken light.
Yeah.
How soft am I?
No, you call it Heine Light, right?
Heine Light.
A little Heine Light.
Yo, how about the segue and talk a little bit about the old WWE? The big announcement came out before Raw, and then they announced it on Raw. I think Stephanie was going to announce it about Jon Stewart is going to be the host of SummerSlam. I mean, that's pretty good. I think that's huge news.
I mean, nothing screams wrestling like 50-year-old, 5'6" Jewish man.
Good point. But it he's a major star, and of course, you know, WWE's
he was great when he's on Raw. Yeah.
But WWE's, you know, it's the spin on it is everybody's wondering what else he's going to do. What's his next, you know, journey in life? Well, it's obviously the whole SummerSlam. Hello. It's
a perfect segue.
Yeah, but I mean, so of course, the WWE's going to try and put the shine on themselves that, you know, he basically quit the Daily Show because he had a whole SummerSlam. So they didn't say that, but that's, I'm paraphrasing.
Weird timing for him to quit when this election's starting to happen with Trump and everything, because you think that's gold, you know, from gold material.
Jerry. It's gold, Jerry.
It's gold. Gold material for him. Yeah, you know, right. Trump is just, you know, he's a walking soundbite.
Dude, but he's been on. Oh, Trump is probably hilarious. I was watching him on the weekend. They had NBC did, and I don't know if this guy owns like NBC or what, because like they give him so much pub because of his, what was the name of the show, Want to Be a Millionaire? No.
Celebrity Apprentice.
That's the one. Yeah, so that's an NBC show, and he's, I think the guy owns NBC on the kayfabe. I really do.
No, they cut it. They took him off Celebrity Apprentice, though.
See, that's why my theory's wrong.
Because of his comment on illegal immigrants, and he's building walls, and he's he's got a gimmick, though. He's got a character, right? You see him. He's making expressions. He's like a wrestler. He's like,
how about
running for president.
I watched him on Chuck, you know, Chuck Todd? Chuck Todd's a political like expert. He does a show. I think it was Meet the Press. He's sitting there. Somebody on Sunday morning. I'm sorry. I can't remember the show. I'm not a big political guy. Chuck Todd is doing this whole big segment, these two segments on on Trump. He's sitting there interviewing Trump. And I'm trying to remember the exact sentence, but he says to Trump, where do you get your military advice from? Or where are you going to be getting, like, something like that? And he goes, well, I watch the shows on TV. I get a lot of advice. He watches the political shows, and he is the military experts, these former generals and stuff. That's where he says he gets his military.
That's where I get mine, too.
Yeah, me too. He watches the shows.
Well, I'm sure if he's president, he'll have like a general that he could actually talk to the real general.
Well, then he could get TiVo the shows and watch all of them on multiple TVs.
Probably hire someone to watch and then report back.
So Jon Stewart is going to be the host of the old SummerSlam, and well, Jon Stewart's safe. You know, he's meaning that, you know, he's the type of guy that could have on air, and he's got stardom, and he's safe, meaning he's not. He'll play within their rules. They like that. You know, he'll play nice. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's a big thing to them. You know, they like guys who play nice.
And he's funny.
He's very funny. I think he's super talented. Yeah. He's obviously extremely successful. So, you know, but, you know, he'll be hosting SummerSlam. What exactly that means, I don't know. But I'm sure he'll come out, kick it off, start a promo, I would assume. Is he from Brooklyn? Nah, yeah. From Manhattan probably or something, right?
I think Jersey.
Ah, oh, Jesus, that don't count. So,
talking about everyone cool from Jersey.
No, stop. Yeah, so I look, WWE made a huge deal out of this, and they should, because it's big news. And and you know, he did do a good job and played nice when he was doing the business with Seth Rollins, to your point. So, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that he's going to be the host of it. I think it's great. And and I don't blame WWE for kind of giving their spin. What's up, Seth?
What? New York City, actually. You're right.
I was right again.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay. Don't apologize.
Google set me straight as usual.
So they're going to have a New Yorker. At least I have one native New Yorker there. Right, who else is from the WWE roster? We went over this once before, the Brooklynites.
We forgot Loki.
Well, no, I know Loki. Yeah. We've got Loki and Homicide, but yeah. I'm talking about that will be at the Brooklyn, either NXT show or Raw. I'm trying to think. I don't know.
That's hard, man.
Talent that's, I guess it's not that important.
I'm sure Zack Ryder will be in a match at 5 o'clock when the five people are there.
True Long Islander right there, Zack Ryder. Good dude. So, you know, I know him since he's a young kid, right? I told you that, right?
Yeah.
And I used to work out at his dad's gym. Yeah, Ultimate Fitness, Ultimate Gym in Hicksville.
So how old, when you say little kid, how old?
Zack could be able to tell you better than me, but he was probably, I don't know, maybe 10.
So you saw him as like a little kid, and then all of a sudden you saw him.
11 years old. I knew him as he was getting older. His dad told me he wanted to get into business, and because I used to train there, I knew his dad very well. His dad owned the gym. So, you know, I kind of gave him a little advice here and there and stuff like that. And you know, I gave him the same advice I give most kids that want to get in. Go to college, get your education.
So, don't do it.
Yeah. So, no, but I knew he would do well, and I saw his career as he came up. Like, he paid his dues and did the right thing, and he was patient, and, you know, and he's doing great. He did great for himself.
I don't think people realize how long he's been around in WWE.
That's a good point. How long has he been around, roughly?
Because he was doing, like, at least 10 years, or close to 10 years.
You might be right, dude. Wow, that makes me feel old. Jeez.
You are old.
Thank you. So we'll talk a little bit about the old Raw. Look, I thought it was a cool way they kicked the show off, a nice touch with Triple H and Stephanie, kicking it off with a big promo, breaking down the SummerSlam card, you know, and kind of segueing to what was going to be on Raw that night, connecting it with the individual stories for SummerSlam. I mean, smart marketing, smart promotion. You know, usually the announcers would run down a card like that, but not in the beginning of the card. Not in the beginning of the show. You don't normally run down a card, but they did it, and they didn't do the whole card, but they did the main stuff on the SummerSlam card, meaning Hunter and Triple H and Steph. And I thought they did a great job. I thought that was a cool way to kick the show off. I liked it.
I thought I could be wrong. I thought at one point they showed Cena and Rollins on the big screen, and she said the name Brock Lesnar, and then she kind of covered herself. I think she got caught up and said the wrong name, and she said, and Brock Lesnar, and she said, "We'll be here tonight."
Well, you have to. It's live, and that stuff's rehearsed. You know, it's rehearsed. What's going to come up on a Tron? Obviously, you have. It's TV. I mean, it's making movies here, so you know. But things happen. You know, I mean, the timing's off. It happens. It's live, and I think that's what makes it great. It's fun. You know. The other thing was, I don't know if they did it. Did Triple H and Stephanie? I think they said it in the beginning. I think they did about the ESPN Sports Center broadcasting from SummerSlam. Was that Triple H and Stephanie who said that?
They showed a coach on the screen.
They did like a lower third. Promo. Yeah, I know Michael Cole talked about it.
I don't know if they said it. I don't recall that.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. I think that it's awesome that that's going to happen. I think it's great for the industry. I gotta tell you, I'm an ESPN fan like most guys and gals out there.
And Brock's going to be on today. He's already been on. I'm sure you can find it online now.
So we're going to promote ESPN Radio now. Because ESPN Radio promotes CBS Radio, is that why we're doing that?
No, because they're promoting wrestling, and we talk wrestling, so.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Not radio. So, he's not going to be on radio. He's going to be on TV.
I think he's going to be on radio.
I thought he was going to be on on SportsCenter.
I think he's going to be on, I'm going to say it in Connie so no one understands it, Mirzike and Mirzike. He's
going to be on Mirzike. I don't know what that means.
You know what I mean?
I don't speak Kearney.
I know Boomer and Cotton. That's the real morning show. But what a homer I am.
You know what, though? They dominate the morning, so.
Dude, they dominate Mike and Mike?
When they had Seinfeld on from the Super Bowl.
I remember
across
that.
The street here.
Yeah,
and they're like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to ESPN. They go, well, no, why? No one's going to hear you.
That's cool. Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, it's good. I mean, because we heard Cole talk about it earlier. I mean, at some point in the show about it's going to be that College Game Day feel, you know, and meaning that they'll have.
How do you think that came about?
Well,
you think you've just been talking?
I'll tell you about how it came about. I mean, because this is something that. The WWE, namely, you know, everyone's favorite guy, Kevin Dunn, has has been wanting to do for a long time. I mean, Kevin is a big sports fan and big ESPN fan, and he's always wanted that feel of a college game day. For those football fans today, you know what college game day is. It's a show with Kirk Herbstreit and Lee Corso and Chris Fowler. Is it Chris Fowler? What's the play-by-play guy? Chris Fowler, right? I think it is, yeah. Do you watch sports, Seth, or you just sit
not
there
and
your thumb up your ass?
Not anymore. I used to. I can't. Now I'm changing
diapers.
But I
think diapers. Chris, I'll handle the heavy lifting. So I think Chris Fowler is going to be off of game day, from what I understand. And I can't remember the gentleman's name. I'm sure you guys are going to treat me now. Who's going to step in for Chris Fowler, who did it for years. But Kirk Herbstreit, my man, former quarterback from Ohio State, college game day, Lee Corso, former college football coach, Louisville head coach, all the stuff, funny guy. So college game day, they pick a stadium each week, and they go to early in the day, and it's like all the students from the school sitting there, school pride, live, break down college football for the day for an hour, 2 hours, of how long game day is. So that's basically what college game day is on ESPN. Now, I do know, like I said, the WWE has always wanted to have that type of a thing with the WWE, like a show like that or a pre-show with that feel. And they do their pre-shows WWE on a network and stuff. And for years they've done it when I was there and doing Sunday Night Heat and stuff like that. But still never had that College Game Day feel. Yes, Seth, yes, yes.
Reese Davis? That's the guy.
Oh, Reese Davis is going to step in for, he's great, going to step in for Chris Fowler. Good, I like that because I'm not a fan of Chris Fowler. I think he's a little pretentious, arrogant, and obnoxious. But I digress.
He hosted it for, was it?
A long time.
Yeah, since 1990.
Yep, see? So, I knew it my palate a little bit. But anyway.
24 years. See
it's a long time, bro. Yeah. Thanks for coming. No, but yeah, the guy made a lot of money, I'm sure, doing it. And he does other stuff. He's running around. He's doing all sorts of stuff. He's silly. Yeah, no, he's silly. So I know people who actually, in TV, you know, audio text and stuff that have dealt with him over the years, that says he's a little bit of a douche. That's what I heard.
That happens.
I heard. But I wonder what they say about me.
Mm.
These people that have worked with audio techs and TV
angry?
Guys. Angry? Angry douche? Douche. No?
Douche isn't the right word for you, no.
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 Hot on. What is the right word?
Hot on? That's the Boston version?
It's a long story. So
I tell inside jokes to yourself now.
I am.
I'm turning my mic off.
I can't help it. So, yeah, but you asked me the question. So that's where I think it came from, the concept of, and you heard Michael Cole say it. And, you know, if Michael Cole says it, we know it's the gospel. So he said that it'll have the College Game Day feel or something like that. He said something along those lines. So I think it's something that they've been wanting to do a long time. I never thought that they would do it with actual ESPN, with SportsCenter, which I think is sick. I think it's great. I even tweeted at Coach, you know, last night. I said, looking forward to seeing you lead that SportsCenter ship, you know, at SummerSlam. You know, good job, bro, whatever. You know, he tweeted back at me because Coach has been on the show here. And for those of you that haven't heard the episode with Coach Seth, maybe later we'll tweet out the link or the episode number.
And that was your award-winning episode.
Okay, cool. Thank you. So, thank you. Maybe we could put out the episode number so fans can go on there if they want to hear the Coach interview that I did with him, because when Coach was on my show, we talked a lot about WWE, and you could sense in that he wanted to do something again with the WWE, and that he was itching to have the ESPN get in bed with them, with the WWE. So it give you like a little bit of a behind the scenes of maybe what Coach was thinking. I'm sure he had something to do with, and when you hear my show with him talking about it, you could hear that he was kind of pushing the executives at ESPN to jump on with WWE in some way, somehow.
And he's hinting at it, actually, yeah.
He was. Yeah. And it's in that episode. What number?
Episode 6, back in February 5th.
Thank you, buddy. So,
those were good old days.
Episode 6, yeah, those were the good old days. You weren't on the air as much.
Okay.
Mm-mm-mm. So,
this is awkward.
But, no, but, yeah, episode 6. Good. Good job, Job. All right, so you pulled that up. So, good, yeah. So, I think that it'll be cool. Coach, and now I saw my man Grish, another guy's been on the show, Todd Grisham. I love Grish. And he tweeted something like, you know, I will, for those asking, I will not be on the SportsCenter WWE show because Coach has to hog all the spotlight. He's obviously joking. Anybody knows Grish knows he's a big cut up. And Grish and Coach are real good friends. So I got to tell you, I'm just happy for Coach that he's able, and Grish, to be out of the WWE and be successful men and professionals at what they do. Because there was a time when they were leaving WWE and some thought in the WWE, once you leave WWE, this is that. Like, you'll never make it. You can't make it without the machine. Well, they did. Some guys make it without the machine. Excuse me.
Oh, you mean like Kevin Kelly?
Exactly.
Right? Matt Stryker?
Yeah. Who else?
I thought of another
one. A lot
of
guys. The Rock. The Rock.
He did all right.
The Rock did good.
Well, they helped kick off his movie career, but yeah.
He did good. The Rock.
He took the ball and ran with it.
He took the ball.
Do you watch Ballers?
No, I heard about it. It's pretty
good. You're yelling at me about Big Brother. Come on, you don't watch Ballers? Yeah. Also, Taz and I actually do talk off air once in a while, a little bit.
Very little.
And I mentioned he reminded me of a show I watched on Showtime, Donovan, with Liev Schreiber.
It's
a great show.
I never watched. It's pretty good.
You could start. I'm sure you have Showtime. And I'm sure
I have. Listen.
You get it all.
I have it all, bro. Yeah. I have everything. I have Dish, DirecTV. I have Cablevision, Opt. I have Opt Off, Opt On. I have
Opt On.
I have Vios, Myos, Klios.
Fios.
Fios too. Yeah. I have a plethora of TVs in the house, Every room has 7 to 8 TVs. So, yes, I have everything.
You can start that show on demand.
Yeah.
So, watch that show.
The thing I got to get is the NFL package, by the way. That will be a future show. I got to talk about that because now my love for the Bills, I got to get the NFL package.
I just do Red Zone, man. I love the Red Zone.
Yeah, but it's not the full game, bro.
It's true. Yeah, I don't care. I'm like that. You know, I got ADD. I just want to watch
you're
all.
You're a jobber. Yeah. You don't. You know, you're a wannabe. You're like a lot of guys out there.
Now, I'm a fantasy guy. I'm a geek. I got the computer on my phone.
Well, you got half of it, right?
Yes.
So, I'm going to have to get the NFL package because I used to always was a Jet fan. I get it on the arm. I get it for free on CBS, by the way. CBS.
How do you switch teams? You can't. I know. That's weird.
Well, we have a lot down the road.
At least he didn't jump on a bandwagon. It's like, oh, I'm a Patriots fan. At least he didn't do that.
I would never in a billion years say that. But we will talk more about football in the coming weeks because we're on the cusp of the NFL season here. And, you know, and speaking of that, we're going to do a little chatter here. I'm going to take a quick break, and you're going to hear about my boys at DraftKings, obviously. So take a quick break. Come right back on the other end. We're going to talk about Raw, give you my thoughts, opinions. Seth will jump in. We will be right back.
All right. This is break time. This is break time.
Well, it's finally here. The moment that everybody has been waiting for is here. Football season just around the corner. And you can start the season by winning $2 million in week one at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments, brand new season every time you play. You just pick two players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. Simple, boys and girls. Why wait until the end of the season to get paid when you can win huge prizes every single week? You can get started playing right now. Prepare for the regular season with preseason contests running through August. You've already been scouting players, so look, you can just get ready for your season-long fantasy team. Put that knowledge to the test every week at DraftKings.com where you can turn your love for football into a lifetime of cash. So here's the deal. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Use the promo code TAZ, TAZ, T-A-Z, to play for free for a shot at $2 million, guys. It's crazy. In the week one millionaire maker and a TAZ for free. Enter now at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right, we are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine. I am Taz, and this is a basically a breakdown of Raw. I'm going to do it on the front end, but we end up doing it here on the back end. I got Seth here, my producer, jumping in and out. He's obviously an expert on anything that's on television. Not really, but anyway, that's the deal on that. So we kind of talked a little bit about the opening of the show with Triple H and Stephanie coming out, which I thought was pretty cool the way they did that and how they broke down the card and segued it into stuff that connected to the Raw that evening, last night. Did you like the beginning, in your opinion?
You know, it just triggered me. One thing cool about Stephanie and Triple H is they have two roles, right? They're promoters, and they're also the authority. And it's cool how they kind of separate it without kind of effortlessly, I think.
Yeah, and they're the storyline writers, so that helps too. So, yeah, they do a great job. I agree. And you know what? Sometimes you'll see Triple H come out without Steph, sometimes Steph. And I think that's what's cool. They're smart. They're not always together, you know, which I think is good. And it's kind of like the Seth Rollins thing. It's you know, they've talked about it. It's kind of like he's like their little stepson, like the little kid, you know, like. So
the son they never had.
Yeah, the little athletic, you know, spoiled kid, you know. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But so we saw a good tag team match with Orton and Cesaro. Wrestling Kevin Owens and Sheamus, which I thought was a real good match. I thought it was a good way to go into helping the announcers tell stories, going into these stories of with these four men individually for SummerSlam, which is smart. Obviously, simple booking 101. We saw an RKO on Sheamus. Right before the RKO on Sheamus, where Randy Orton won, saw Kevin Owens almost ate an RKO. You see that?
Yeah, he pushed off. Yeah.
Interesting, right?
You know, I was thinking your line. Cesaro's over like pancakes.
Yes, yeah, he is. People love him.
Yeah,
it's all in a towel, and someone of the there was a couple, not a lot, a while back, couple of real hardcore fans of Cesaro, which I'm a fan of Cesaro. I respect the guy. Saying, he copied that from a guy in Japan, not you. He's like, okay, how do you know what he's copying? How do you know what he's doing? It don't matter. He's doing what he's doing. Maybe you're telling me he's copying, what's his name, Mazawa in Japan. Because he wore a towel during the same time I did. I didn't even know that. I knew who he was, but I didn't pay attention to that guy wearing a towel back then. But how do you know that's why? Unless the guy said it, Cesaro. Maybe I talked to people, I don't know, that still work for WWE, that share a locker room with him. Maybe things were told to me. I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe.
You got a scoop? No?
Nah, I don't care what the guy wears in his head. The guy's a super talented guy.
Great wrestler. I mean, he's great in the ring. He's fun to watch.
He's very entertaining. He was excellent in Ring of Honor during his years in Ring of Honor. So, you know, no doubt there. But the RKO, now that's over like pancakes. People pop on the old RKO thanks to the vines. All the vines of the RKOs, right?
Of course. WrestleMania one was the best RKO ever, though.
Oh,
the curb stomp
with Seth Rollins jumped up. Yes. Definitely was. Then they went to a Undertaker vignette deal, talking about Taker. You know,
rest
talking
in
hard
peace.
on what's his name on Brock Lesnar. I thought that was cool. You know, it was good. It was good, and I thought the flow of the show was good, and the booking of it at that point was real good. And in general, I liked the show. I mean, the Raw show. I mean, I did. I thought it was a good go home. Was it the greatest go-home ever? Maybe not the greatest, but it was good. They hit all their points hard. And then they went into a, what do you call it? It was Roman Reigns against Luke Harper, which I thought, again, was a good match. Luke
physical.
Harper, very physical. Luke Harper, for a big dude, can really work and move. Ambrose was on color commentary. I thought Ambrose was entertaining on commentary. He was really railing on JBL pretty good. So, you know, this probably was just joking around, obviously, but...
And Bray was just sitting there. And Bray's cool, man. He's so into his character.
Like, yeah, he don't have to do much.
He just sat there and just kind of gave him a glance once in a while. Yeah, he was...
I thought that was good because, you know, it was good that he was not on commentary on the other end of the table with while Ambrose is on it, because then you would think they'd be too close to each other and they'd have to get physical. And then you got three announcers, you know, in the middle of them, you know, Saxton, JBL, and Cole Michael. And you know, I think it's good that Bray did not get on color and was just sitting there looking, staring a hole at Ambrose, and Ambrose staring a hole back at him. So I thought that was done well, and it really built into setting up SummerSlam. Again, he's a go-home show here, so you're trying to obviously connect stories and really just, you know, not your last chance because you got SmackDown, but one of your last shots here with a huge audience to sell that SummerSlam, get buys on that, not buys, to get people to check it out on the old WWE Network.
And I'm thinking Eric Rowan's going to end up joining the family again, too.
You think
so? When
he
comes back. Yeah, I mean, him and Harper were tagging up again when he went out. I think he got injured, right?
Dude, I'll tell you what. I think you'd be an awesome member of the Wyatt family.
Totally.
I really think you would. You'd be like the little cousin. You know what I mean?
I like that.
Like the driver. You drive like a little car around. Like you just drive like a pickup truck. Drive like a beat up old like King Ranch. You know, just drive that thing around. You know what I mean?
Not from around here, are you?
Yeah, I could see you doing that, buddy. Yep, with your fancy little New York City glasses on. I could see that happen.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be great in the Wyatt family. Kung Fu Jabba, KFJ.
I like it.
Bro, you're over.
I think they're all Jewish, too. So the perfect fit.
Absolutely. Well, why wouldn't the Wyatt family be all Jewish? So, of course they are. So then what did we see? We saw Becky Lynch.
Your girl.
My girl came out. Yeah, she did her thing, man. I tell you.
You know what I noticed about her and when she came out, and I think is really cool because she's from NXT? They put so much effort into their ring entrances. Their entrances are better than the main roster.
Because they're fresh. That's why I think they're better.
But they're so into it. And you see how, like, she's got this whole...
She's exuberant. She's young. She's exciting. She has to be. And, yeah, you're right. But I think that...
They also didn't give Snuka even an entrance. She
was just in the ring. Yeah.
They did it a couple times. They actually did that to Sasha Banks later, too.
It's not a good sign. Well, you know why that happens?
TV. Time, right?
It's time.
Yeah, I understand.
It might not be written like that. It might just be that they got to cut the entrance and they're trying to build Becky more than... Snuka, you know, because she's newer in the main roster, so it's a time thing. They cut stuff as it goes on. It all starts with the opening segment. If the opening segment goes heavy, everything gets cut. So where it goes. So that's why
you're on the fly, right?
Yeah, man. That's why if you're a wrestler, you're on Raw, and you're the whatever in the sixth segment or seventh segment, you watch that first segment and you see how much time on the board it's budgeted for, and you look at your cell phone or your watch and you see how long it went.
Why does that happen though? Why do those matches go long?
Well, it's talent either being selfish or they just maybe got it went a little long. You can't. It's not a perfect science. It's a one take live thing. So you could say, I'm going to wrestle you, and we're going to go 7 minutes. Okay, so now, you know, we got to almost have a built-in clock, and we get a little help from the ref, as we know. But
he's got an earpiece, right, the ref?
Of course, yeah. But and that's everybody knows that. But the thing is, it's not. It doesn't always get done perfectly. It's not if there's a messed up spot in the match, which people say on the internet, the hardcore fan, a botched spot. You know, let me tell you something.
I want to botch your ear.
Let me tell you, the word botched, that whole thing is so, like, annoying. I can't,
someone uses the word botch as someone who never played sports
right,
in their life.
They're trying to use like inside terms that guys would use that years ago a little bit here and there. Someone, I don't know, got popular on the internet. The whole botchamania, botch this, botch your ass.
Botchamania?
Yeah, there's like some YouTube thing, you know, for everything.
What a bunch of douches.
Like people mess things up. It's so botch. They messed up a spot. Stop with the botch thing. Give me a break. Botch your ass. Okay, botch your ass.
Hey, whatever you'd like to do in your own personal time.
Well, you're right. Yeah. You need to wake up a little bit. You seem a little unexuberant, unlike, you know.
Well, I got woken up by a spinning back elbow from my 2-year-old son in bed. Yeah. In my eye. Yeah, the eyeball. I was going to ask you, because I got hit in the eyeball this morning and woke me up. I was like, you must have got hit in the eyeball before, right? The actual eyeball.
Yeah, I've had a thumb put straight in my eye and like felt like my eye was on a spring. And it just, my eyeball was sprung back into the back of my skull and sprung back out of my face. That's how it felt.
Who did that?
That was years ago.
Was it Crusher Khrushchev?
Joe Savoldi. Yeah, we didn't like each other very much. Jumping Joe Savoldi.
So in the match, he did that on purpose?
I don't know if he did that on purpose. And also, when I was getting trained to breaking in, I was locking up with someone, learning how to lock up. And that happens a lot. Guys poke each other in the eye by accident on lockups. When you learn how to lock up and tie up, it's hard to explain with audio, but... You know, if we ever have a video, we might do a...
You explained the suplexes with audio.
I know. A lot of people some people were confused, but not a lot. Everybody got it. I think I explained it.
Around the waist, under the crutch.
Yes. Sounds like your honeymoon. So, where were we? Becky Lynch. So, Becky, she came out, and she wins the match with this armor, which it's a tremendous armbar submission. And her first time I saw her do it, she was in NXT, and you could just see... Her intensity when she does that, this armor, really makes it. She's great. And someone was even tweeting me, asking me about, like, who I felt were the best. Who's the best suplexer? I'm trying to remember how the person... Let me pull up my Twitter as I'm talking about it. I'm trying to remember exactly. I got it, Seth. Don't worry about it. Somebody, this guy, Jeremy Gant, at Ninja Gant. It's a cool name.
Oh, he should fight the KFJ.
Tremendous. He said,
sell it to Barclays.
At Official Taz, who, in your opinion, has the best suplex technique in the biz? And he put Becky with a question mark. And I said, I would say yes, Becky Lynch, as far as I can see, very much in the top two or three. And I mean from a technical standpoint, from her back arch, her hip explosion. You know, there are some things that she could work on a little bit. That I don't think a lot of people can show her. I humbly say I can help someone with that. I put a lot of... Now, we've talked a lot about on the show with suplexing, as you know. Because I'm going to have a big passion for it. You know,
are the human suplex machine.
Yes. And I put so much work into my throws and training. And there's a lot to... Just not some big guy doing suplexes or... He throws a guy backwards, that's a suplex. It's not a suplex. Okay? There's an art to suplexing. A true art. And I think Becky, now I can't speak for a lot of the athletes, the wrestlers in Japan. I'm not on top of that as much, but I'm sure that there's usually a bunch of talents there, guys and gals, that
Ibushi.
Are tremendous suplex. Yes, tremendous suplexes. Mm-hmm. Females, too. So, but I'm talking about, you know, like in North America on TV, I would say Becky Lynch probably, you know, definitely in that top tier as right now in today's world of technique. I will say flat out, I feel I was the best ever. And that sounds very self-serving and arrogant and conceited, and I don't care.
Don't hold back.
I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but suplexing, I know everything about. So,
well, Tommy said you used to use him as a suplex dummy.
A lot of guys. Yeah. Dreamer was a crash test dummy for me. Yeah, because he was big.
He said you just show up, starts throwing him all over the place and leave.
Yeah, but I did a lot of work with that on crash mats too. I didn't want to hurt nobody, just as far as training and practicing. But I also had a lot of coaching too, outside of the wrestling business, in the amateur wrestling world, and my background in grappling and stuff. And so I had a lot of knowledge too, and I had a lot of people outside of pro wrestling that helped me. Now Becky Lynch, I think, is definitely a technical standpoint. Again, her throws at times remind me of the way I did my throws. So the way she goes into them and stuff. So, you know, so anyway, Becky wins the match. She won the match against Snuka there.
I like the way the match went, too, because Tamina is so big and strong that she dominated the match, and then, you know, Becky just kind of fell into that arm bar. So I thought that was cool.
I agree. And I think she's underrated, Tamina. I think she's actually very good, you know. She's a little underrated, you know. There's so much good talent, especially with this Diva Revolution thing that Stephanie put down. And, you know, from the Sasha Banks to the Charlottes, I mean, these are all, you know, these young girls that are coming in. And then the girls that are there, the Bellas and stuff. And, you know, they're all, this whole crew of these divas, I think.
PCB.
I think Bad. What's the team Bad? Yeah. Team Bad. If you were a wrestler, that would be your nickname, Bad, because you're bad to the bone, bro. You're bad and you're nationwide.
I like that. Yeah, it was a ZZ Top.
Wow, very good. Dun, 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 dun. Was ZZ Top, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm bad, I'm nationwide. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Nationwide is on your side.
Yeah. That's a commercial. So then we saw your boy Rusev come out and did this thing there with Mark Henry. You're a big Rusev fan.
I am, but I got a problem with this match.
And what happened?
As a fan, a couple of years ago, Mark Henry was unstoppable.
Right.
And I just don't like, I know it's because for TV time. I get it because matches are short and everything, but I don't like when a guy goes from unstoppable world champion to basically an enhancement talent. It just bothers me a little bit. You know, Mark,
it bothers you. How do you think it bothers Mark Henry?
I know he's been in the company forever, and he's you know, everybody talks about The Undertaker. Mark Henry's been there almost as long and has his ups and downs. But I thought Mark Henry was great when he was champ, and he was legit scary. And
In defense to WWE, I really do think it's the time thing. It was just they were probably tight on time. And
but it happens to him almost every time he wrestles now.
Mm, yeah.
It's just like, hey, Mark Henry's coming out, world's strongest man, squash.
Yeah.
You know, it's like someone stepped on a bug.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm
just saying as a fan. I'm not trying to criticize anybody.
Henry's the man, bro. I can tell you, I know him for a long time. He's just a super guy.
He's a company guy.
Company guy, family man, good man, hard worker. Love Mark. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, maybe things are, who knows? He's obviously in the twilight of his career. And let's be honest, he is. But in this segment, it's obviously the segment was about these younger guys. Rusev wins with the Acolyte.
And Rusev there's no shame in losing to Rusev. He's a badass.
No, of course. They're building the right way. Yeah, and he's got the tomato with him, Summer Schnabitz.
And you notice he did something you did. Yes, Summer Schnabitz. He put shoes on.
Yeah, he's not barefoot no more. Well, we've talked about that in the past. Did I ever do a Taz tale on the barefoot issues of the Tasmaniac? I don't know if I've ever done that.
I think you touched on it. I don't know if you did a whole Taz tale.
Touched on my feet. Yeah, he probably had some issues with his feet.
Well, he had an injury. He was just out with it.
He did have an injury. But I'm saying there's more to that, though.
It staff could be, infections.
Yeah,
like
staff.
That.
And also, you break your toes a lot when you're barefoot. And I'm just saying, not just one foot injury. Could just be a lot of nagging stuff. And these guys on the road a lot. You know, he's working all the time and he's barefoot. He's a big guy, too. So, you know, it looks like he's wearing some kind of a boxing shoe or an Otomo mix, as they called it back in the day. Like a boxing type of high top wrestling shoe. So
he's got an old school look. He looks like a wrestler from the 70s. He's just a big,
he's
burly.
Thick, burly. He looks like a man. He don't look like some cosmetic little, you know, punk. You know what I mean? He's like you whoop your ass. You know what I mean? That's how he's supposed to look.
Segue into who comes into the ring.
Dolph comes in, but Dolph's a legit tough dude. I mean, he wrestled for Kent State. You familiar with Kent State?
Yeah.
Yeah, who went to Kent State? Who's famous went to Kent State?
Isn't that where they had the big kids got...
I talked about famous athletes. Yes, you're right about what you just said.
People got killed there and stuff. Yeah, that's why I know it.
Okay, a gentleman by the name of Jack Lambert.
Oh, I know Jack Lambert.
Yeah, I would hope so. One of the greatest Pittsburgh linebackers Steelers. Ever. Correct. I'm a 58. Yeah. He went to Kent State.
Steel Curtain.
Yes, sir. And anyway, so...
Take your head off.
Nasty. So we see basically Ziggler comes out because what happens is Lana says to some are getting the ring. They get in the ring, these two hot blondes, boom, 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 the tight skirt, the whole nine yards. Lana was on commentary before that. She did pretty good, right? She was, I think, yep.
Yeah.
And boom, she slaps the taste out of Summer's mouth. Summer sells it. Nice. And next thing you know, Lana says to Rusev, I want you now. Get my face here.
He's like, are you serious? Like,
are you nuts or something? And then, you know, what's going to happen to Lana? She's going to get crushed here. This is nuts. Here comes your boy Ziggler. Boom. It was a good segment all the way through. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
You know, back in the day, especially when you wrestled in Attitude Era, women were fair game. They would take their bumps and everything from the guys.
Fair game, dude.
And I think the Ray Rice thing kind of put a halt to all that, right?
It did, and it should, and it makes sense. And we've had another past episode when we had Veda Scott on from Ring of Honor, and she does a lot of intergender wrestling, and we talked about that. And even when Gail Kim was on the show, we talked about intergender wrestling, her thoughts and opinions. Gail was on the same page as me, which she didn't agree with it. I don't agree with it either. In a future episode, I want to have Joey Ryan on. Okay, Joey does a lot of intergender wrestling, has done some a lot of stuff. Joey's very tremendous talent from out the West Coast. Biggest Anaheim Angels fan you ever met in your life. And if you remember Joey from TNA, but I want to talk to Joey a little bit about that too. But about intergender stuff, but you're right. During my time wrestling in that Attitude Era, yeah, women warfare game, we saw, I remember the thing that sticks out to me more than anything was when I think it was Francine in ECW got total elimination from the Eliminators. It was, and the bump she took was amazing, and the respect she had from the locker room, because those guys didn't go easy on her with that thing. It was sick. Now, looking back on it, I could never fathom that on TV in a million years.
You couldn't even do that easy, though, that move, right? No. There's no easy lighting up
there
on that
none.
Move.
There is none. It's full speed, misdirection by two big, nasty guys. But it's a different world now. Even before the Ray Rice thing, I remember sitting in production meetings with, during my time in WWE, during my time in TNA a lot, where the network, especially in TNA, Spike TV, was like, well, if you guys are looking to do this to a female in the ring, let me check with S&P, that's Standards and Practice. Let me check. We'll let you know in about an hour. We're going to make a call, send an email. They were real gun-shy of a lot of stuff. I mean, it's not just Spike TV. It's just TV in general. You got to really be careful. It's a different world now.
It became taboo.
Yes. It definitely became taboo. Not Sabu. Taboo.
Not Sabu.
So,
good shout-out, though.
Yeah, that was a good shout-out, Sabu. So... You know, I if you want to hear a little bit about that stuff, like I said, listen to some old episodes when I had Veda Scott on about intergender stuff and or Gail Kim. So talked about that a little bit on there. It was, but I thought the segment was really good with Rusev and Summer and Dolph and Lana. I thought it was really good. The whole segment was good. Everybody got over the right way.
And Dolph brings a lot of energy, man. It's cool.
He's back. Yeah he's back. He came fired out. Up. It's a good way to go into, you know, into the gimmick. You know, I thought it was really, really good. I really did. I enjoyed it very much. Then we saw your boy Ryback come out. You like Ryback, man.
Another former world champion getting squashed in seconds. Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. Big Show was on commentary during this.
Yeah.
And you're saying Miz got squashed.
Yeah, but you know, I could accept it more from Miz.
Let me teach you something. Let me teach you something, Mark Boy. So the way this works, hey, right?
That's why I'm here. I'm here to learn.
If you're a talent, you know, and you're the Miz, and you're gonna get beat like that, and you're a former world champ. You're getting a couple things done. First of all, you're getting to work at SummerSlam, and so you're gonna get a nice payday. Let's be honest. Second of all, Miz, I don't think he complained about one thing. This guy is on everything WWE does. They push and promote him on everything. Just did the Tough Enough thing. When Hogan got abolished out of there, he sat in for Hogan. He was doing the Tough Talk thing. He's safe. That's why I always say the word safe. He's safe. He's a safe bet for them. He's consistently good. In the ring, he can go in there and do whatever. He's credible in the ring. And he's not bitching because he came out, Miz, and he got to cut a nice long promo and buried everybody and did his thing. And he comes out wearing a drape. You know, and he does his thing. So, I mean, if you're one of the boys and you're going in there and you're going to lose that quick, you're not going to have a problem with it because you're getting mic time, and mic time is what gets you over. Miz knows that. I didn't even look at anything on my computer or paper And I forgot until you just said that. It would have came to me as I was talking that he lost the match. And that he lost that quick. Because what I remember from that segment was the Big Show on commentary, which I thought did a good job. And I remember the Big Show actually getting over both of those guys more than the announcers did. And he's going to compete against those guys. And that's what I got from that. I thought that Big Show got over the arrogance and the attitude of The Miz, and that Ryback thinks that he could, you know, destroy him, you know. And Michael Cole basically called out the Big Show, saying, well, you obviously forgot what happened last week.
And Bradshaw's, JBL's like, he's right here.
Yeah, no, that was funny. That was funny. That was good in the 3 hours. And the... so, and I thought Big Show had a good comeback. I don't know if someone fed him to come back. He's a quick-witted guy, so probably not. That was last week.
And he's got a movie coming out, too. It looks actually looks entertaining.
It does look entertaining. Yeah. And I got to tell you, the line that Miz said, what do you call him, the world's biggest extra? That was... he called the Big Show. I popped. That was a good line, I got to say. He called him that on the mic, didn't he? He called him the world's biggest, something like that.
If I was booking a SummerSlam, I'd have Ryback and Big Show take each other out and like a Miz sneak out of there with that title.
So you're a big Miz fan.
Nah, I'm just saying, you know, if you're gonna, you know, just because no one's expecting him to have any shot.
Yes. Well, yeah. Ryback wins the bad boy with the shell shock on your boy Miz. So we'll see what happens come Sunday. It should be interesting. Good chemistry amongst the guys there. So then you had the big old contract signing. You know, usually there's always a problem at a contract signing in the wrestling business. You know that, right?
Yes.
Always.
They swerved us.
I learned that from Joey Styles.
Swerve.
Contracts, contract signings and wrestling weddings never go smooth. So,
how many wrestling weddings have you been to?
I've been to Billy and Chuck's wedding. I have, which was hilarious, entertaining. Because those, if anybody knows Billy Gunn or Chuck Palumbo, those guys are the funniest guys you ever met in your life. And they couldn't be any further than those characters they played, and they were hilarious. I remember that Bischoff pulled the mask gimmick off. It was Bischoff at the wedding. He was the preacher.
Yeah.
You remember that? It was great stuff. And I was the commentator on that.
They were on, like, all the morning shows and everything?
Oh, yeah. It was great, bro. That was so funny. Those two guys are just great. So I've been to that wedding. I've been to another. Oh, I was part of a little wedding in TNA when... Brooke Hogan was going to marry my boy Bully Ray.
That's when you were with Aces and Eights.
Yes, it got a little hot.
You still have your vest?
It's very hot in here. That was the line.
Yes.
In the vest.
You still have it?
No, they took it back. They said it was expensive. I'm not joking. Teenage said, we need the vest back. I go, okay. I never had
Does it have
a
your
company.
Name on it?
Dude, it did. I never had a company take back a gimmick before. And I go, yeah, no problem. I'll bring the vest next week. Oh, we just need it back. It's like $150. I got no problem, guys. They, you know, we'd let you keep. I said, no, you guys need it more than me. You can have it back.
What are they going to do with it?
They took my name tag off. They had their seamstress take my name off of it and give it to another guy, whoever they. And then, know what they did with it? They, all of them, a lot of them, they like auctioned them off or something on a website.
Oh, hopefully they're charity.
I don't want to speak out of school. I'm not sure if it was for charity.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't quote me on that. I don't know if it was, but again, there's a lot of things I told you I don't know, but so the contract signing. What, you know what the thing is? You know, Rollins comes out, does his thing, then Cena comes out, cuts his promo. I thought his promo was real good, the beginnings of it, and then what I have to do, I had to leave the house. Okay, I had to pick somebody up somewhere. It's a long story.
Oh, boy.
It was like no emergency. It was just
cousin, uncle?
Nah, it's a long story.
Mafia.
I can't get into that, bro.
Okay.
So I had to leave the house for like a half hour. So I didn't see what happened. I caught up a little bit online. You now are going to tell me, and I'm going to react to it. Tell me what happened.
Cena went into telling him, oh, you're not the future. You're just a footnote because I'm going to win my 16th world title. And that's going to upset this man, Triple H. I'm paraphrasing, quoting.
Of course.
I'm just going to upset this guy because his mentor, Ric Flair, was a 16-time title holder. And I'm going to tie his record, and you're going to be pissed, and you're going to be pissed, and you're just going to be a footnote, not the future. You're going to be the guy who lost, I won my 16th title against.
Uh-huh.
He goes, and Triple H, he was never Ric Flair's bitch. But on Sunday, I'm going to make you mine.
Ooh, okay, yeah. All right. Yes.
He delivered that well.
I did catch Seth Rollins mention Bob Dylan. And I got to tell you, I was like, wait a minute. Why is he mentioning Bob? It was a legend, but so old. And the audience is not, they don't, and Seth Rollins is a young guy. Why are they making him say Because he's from Minneapolis, from Minnesota. That's where Bob Dylan was from. Okay, I didn't know that. Who cares? Whatever.
Robert Zimmerman.
Okay, great. I like Bobby Dylan a little bit.
Do you?
Know, I'm not Bobby? A huge fan. Bobby, yeah. I like a couple of his tunes. You know what I mean? Does he do that song on the... No.
What the hell was that?
There's one song he does that's pretty cool.
The Twist?
Nah.
It was Chubby
Twist.
Checker.
But anyway, he...
Cena had a great line, too. He called Seth Rollins Captain Morgan.
I didn't hear that.
I was like, he does look like Captain Morgan.
That's funny. Good, yeah. See, that's funny. See, now kids can get that joke.
Yeah, because all
teenagers
kids
get it.
Yeah. They're all drinking.
They're all drinking rum. Yeah, no.
Spiced rum.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, like, the Seth Rollins deal saying Bob Dylan, there's no way, that Seth Rollins came up with that line or wanted to say that line.
You don't think so?
No. He's too young. I mean, I think the promo was great. Otherwise, I thought whoever wrote the promo from did a good job. But the Bob Dylan gimmick, I was like, come on. Please.
I like Seth. I think Seth's been great, though, with the promos.
He's awesome.
And he gets better and better, too.
There's no doubt. All right, then you see a little deal with Lucha. Lucha. Lucha.
You know,
that was a
great, fresh look at those tag teams,
yeah,
let me tell you.
Yeah. You liked it.
No, they do the same thing every week.
I know.
It's driving me nuts.
I know.
New Day rocks.
New Day, Matadors, prime time, the whole deal. I mean, you know, it's like, it's tough. There's a lot of stuff they're promoting going into SummerSlam. It's just, things get lost, you know, in the shuffle a bit. It happens.
What happened to those other guys, the fake Road Warriors? Where'd they go?
Yeah, how they doing? Yeah, I don't know. It's not going well. I don't know, bro. I don't know what's going on. I mean,
it's interesting, though, because, you know, it's funny. NXT's really hot now, and some of the guys that got promoted early, like the Bo Dallases and those guys, I really just forgot their name.
Yeah.
I just blanked.
Well, the Ascension.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. There it is. And those guys all did really well at NXT, correct? But it was before NXT really took off.
Correct.
So it's like they kind of get, by being early, they kind of got screwed a little bit. Because, you know, I think those guys in NXT now are getting a lot more love and a lot more attention. And
you can't blame those guys for that. It happens. I think you make a good point. You know, I think, I you never know, a team like the Ascension, look, we talked about it in the past. I mean, I talked about it. It's like they're behind the eight ball from Jump Street. They're trying to, they have them copying somehow, light whatever, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, Road Warriors. You know, we've done our fantasy draft with Mike Tenay, and we had them, I think we all had them in their number one or two.
We all, two of us had number one. You had him number two.
Brain busters. Well, on and Tully.
Yes, you're number one.
And I still...
You stand by that?
Stand by that for the reasons. And you could, again, folks, you could listen to that Fantasy Draft edition of Tag Teams on the Human Podcast Machine right here on Play It or iTunes, and you'll hear my reasoning why I had on and Tully as number one and the Road Warriors number two. Point is, the Ascension trying to kind of mock those guys, copy them and all that, didn't help them. And then bringing back all the old teams to beat the crap out of them didn't help them either.
Yeah,
so
weird.
So, you know, it's just, yeah, well, it's a deep push. You know, I know that feeling. So it happens, dude. You can't even explain it. So then we saw my girl Sasha Banks. She submits Nikki Bella.
She's so entertaining, man.
Sasha? Man,
yeah.
She just...
She's a tiny little girl,
yeah,
she looks like, compared
to... She's confident.
Yeah.
She's the boss. She talks about being the boss. She's just... She's got that it factor, you know what I mean?
100%.
She really, really does. So then, now let's get into the whole deal with Lesnar, and Heyman comes out, cut a long promo.
Singing everything.
Singing the whole thing. I thought it was great. It was a little long for my taste, but I thought it was really good. I mean, the Suplex City chants in the building... I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. I mean,
deafening.
Brock, you know, for Brock he hits one German suplex. I'm saying that's like his shtick is the Germans. Not one, but he hits a bunch of Germans. You know, and it's Suplex City. Just from a little saying something in the ring with a hot handheld mic picks him up. You know,
yeah, people ate that up.
I think it's cool. You know,
it was a cool thing. Was Paul running down his credentials? I kind of like that, even though I know them all. But the fact that he was Division One,
University of Minnesota,
yeah,
for Golden Gophers, for Jay Robinson was the head coach at Minnesota, and that's where, you know, Brock wrestled for Coach Robinson and stuff like that. Just a legendary wrestling coach in the D1 level, Big Ten. You know, the Big Ten wrestling is just great. Just in my opinion, the best as far as collegiate wrestling. I'm a fan of collegiate wrestling, so
Do you think it was strategic that they had Raw in Minneapolis the week before?
I don't think so. I don't think so because those buildings are booked really way in advance.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't say for sure. That's why I'm putting a qualifier on and say I don't think so. From what I understand, when I worked there, or you know, it's like the buildings are booked really early. You know?
So SummerSlam though, right? So it's possible that they knew that, you know, they put all this investment in Brock Lesnar.
Sure, yeah. Could be. Yeah. I mean, it's a good point. I mean, I thought it was a little bit of a weird coincidence too, but yeah, I mean, it could be. I never really thought about that hard. You might be right. I mean, but I thought it was interesting the way they went off the air. What Taker just getting. He's basically heel, just heat. You know, now, it was great.
Now it was they darkened the place and the gong came on and then it came back on and he wasn't there first, and Paul's like, oh, your Jedi mind tricks aren't going to work on us. Is it possible that was a mistake, or you think that was, you know, maybe they're just trying to swerve?
I think it's possible it was a mistake. You never really could tell. I mean, you know,
because the timing has to be right. He has to get down there and appear and all that, right?
Yeah, but all in all, I thought the segment was great. I thought it was perfect to set Taker up. Boom, he's got all of a sudden out of nowhere straight heel heat going into Brooklyn. So it'll be interesting to see how the New York crowd there and the crowd fans from all over the world react come SummerSlam at the Barclays Center. I thought the segment was excellent, though.
And the good thing about getting older is now he looks even scarier. I mean, I'm not saying he's an ugly guy. I'm just saying he looks more menacing.
Yeah, no, he is. He's in great shape. He looks he's Taker, dude. He's, you know, he's taken a lot of bumps in his career and his body's beat up, but he looks great and it does. Look, you know, guys talk about age and all. Remember, like when we were younger, the wrestlers of old, the Dino Bravos, the Stan Hansons, the guys that were. I'm trying to think of all these guys that during that, you know, Chief J. Strongbow era and Bruno Sammartino era, none of these guys look like kids. These guys were in their 40s. These guys were in their 40s. Now today's standards, those are old guys.
Yep.
Those guys that were that WWF and all that stuff, or the NWA and all those guys, those guys were older guys then.
And how much of that is, not to get off to a whole other subject, how much of that is those guys not wanting to give up the spot? That's why the young guys were always kept down for so
back
long
then,
in the business.
Oh, yeah, it was all right? that. Yeah. It was all that. But it was also the promoters felt like
a sure thing.
Fans were less educated to the business and they were kept in the dark. So they wanted to push the guys that look rugged like barroom brawlers. And I think that was the right way to do it because it was great for the business back then. Different time now. Things evolve, evolution. And you want more athletic, younger guys over the past, whatever, 10, 15 years. That's what you've seen. Probably 15, 20 years maybe. That's what you've seen rock and roll and really make success. So, but I think this was an excellent go-home going into SummerSlam. They're obviously sold out, like you heard Stephanie say at the top of Raw, for NXT, for SummerSlam, and Raw the next day on Monday. So, you know, and I even tweeted about, you know, hey, wishing all of the, you know, the talents good luck at NXT and WWE that are competing and wrestling at these big shows next weekend, this coming weekend, in Brooklyn, because, you know, it's a special place. Wrestling in the New York City area, Queens or Brooklyn or Manhattan, you know, I've been lucky in my career. I've wrestled a lot of times at home. And it's great. It's amazing. So for a lot of these younger wrestlers in NXT that, or even WWE wrestlers that never done this, you know, I just found my tweet. I said, best of luck to the talent working at Ring of Honor, NXT Brooklyn, SummerSlam this coming weekend. New York City audience are very special. Enjoy. Hashtag I miss that. And I do miss that. I don't really miss wrestling as much as some people may think I do. Of course, I've been out of the ring so many years into a broadcasting role, but I do miss that buzz of walking out in front of a New York City crowd, my hometown crowd. Some people wonder, well, are you going to be there in Brooklyn? You might be wondering, Seth, if I'm going to be there in Brooklyn, right?
Well, I kind of got the inside scoop.
Oh, so you want to upcut all the fans?
Yeah.
You got the inside
scoop.
Well,
they figure I'm here at 4 in the morning with you. I might know something.
Shut up. Yeah, so I don't know, man. I don't think I'm going to be in Brooklyn, guys. But so, I you know, I would love to. I really would. I'm busy, but I'm not too busy to go to Brooklyn on a Sunday or Saturday. But I, you know, I mean, look, I WWE I was never like a superstar for them. They don't care about me. They moved on. I'm a thing of the past to them. I'm just one of the guys that worked there, and they've moved on. They have no interest in me, and that's cool. I wish them nothing but the best luck. I love covering their programming, and I would love to show up there and do something quick or say hello to the fans or something, but it's not happening. So, sorry, it's not going to happen.
Hey, with the success of this weekend, with the sellouts and everything, this is going to probably lay a blueprint for the future, right? You think like the four majors they have, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, they'll become these big weekends for their brands.
Well, like I've talked about in the past, recent past here on the show, it hurts these other companies for years that have tried to piggyback and have successfully piggybacked off of the Sunday big shows that WWE will do at times. Now, they're cutting you off. If you're a Ring of Honor or whatever, one of these independent companies or whoever it may be, I don't remember TNA doing it that much. I think TNA tried to avoid it, to be honest.
WrestleCon, they had those like special events.
All that kind of stuff is now, you're kind of getting cut off. You know, and I got to say kudos to Vince McMahon and WWE for that, because they should do that. Because they put all the money, and I talked about this, I think it was last week's show, into building these shows. Now, and then people are going to piggyback on it. It's kind of cheesy.
Well, they're trying to make money, right?
It does, but you're using their machine to help you make money.
They're like feeding off them.
Correct. Yeah. It's like a ship with the barnacles on it.
The barnacles.
Well, it's like the big killer whale with the little fish that want to get a little bit of leftover food after he kills the seal.
So I think
no offense to seals.
Or any kind of seal. I think eventually they're gonna they'll be booking shows in the daytime. You know, like Saturday afternoon shows or something. Like companies like Ring of Honor.
I don't know. But then WWE has you hooked on that, because now they're gonna
FanFest and all that.
FanFest and this Sports Center thing. This is not gonna be the last time this happens.
No,
this is gonna be at the bigger WWE shows. So morning of the show, they're gonna have They're gonna do Sports Center and stuff, so they're gonna have fans there, and they're gonna want to be live on ESPN on TV. It's great. It's great for the wrestling business, but these other companies got to have to do their own thing.
One other thing I noticed, I wanted to bring up about NXT and Finn Balor. I saw an interview with him, and he said they're talking about, oh, well, you want to be called up to the main roster. He said, no. He goes, I'm happy where I am right now. I said, NXT's where it's at. And he mentioned ECW. He said, this is like, he goes, I feel like I'm in the middle of a revolution, like ECW back in the day.
I've talked to Finn, in the past off air, and he's a smart cat. He's not a kid. He's a smart guy, knows his stuff, and hence his success. And he's going to be, I've predicted it a while ago. I'm not the only one who's predicted it. He is going to be a monster star in his business sooner rather than later. So no matter if he's on NXT or the main roster, it don't matter, because NXT is rapidly pole vaulting to a whole nother level, and it's like its own separate entity off of, the WWE main roster. So, and from what I hear, the guys have a little more freedom in NXT. So
they're letting them develop, right?
Yeah, correct. So why would you go and get micromanaged on the main roster? You know, I think the announcing needs to be honed in on NXT. I think the announcing's a little rough. Those guys might have too much freedom and need some producing, and produced by the right person. Then I don't think they're being produced by the right person, and that's for a future show. Just leave that at that. So that's it. So boom, that's the basically the breakdown of Raw. Seth spoke a little bit too much on the show, so we're gonna edit all of him out. No, I'm joking. So that's it. I'm probably gonna drop a little preview, SummerSlam preview for you at the end of this week. And hope you guys dig that. You know, I'm the hardest working man in the radio business, podcasting world. And again, that announcement's coming, I promise. Seth, am I lying about this announcement that I've been talking about for months?
What announcement?
I look like the boy who cried wolf here. I'm embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed. It's coming.
You sound so excited.
It's coming. Everybody's going to rock your world. Are you ready?
Look, you work here, yes. Dude. You're in the office, man.
I am.
You're here daily for years. You're in the meetings. You're a big shot, dude. People know you here. You're a famous guy. Like, you're, like, loved here.
They're kind of a big deal.
They love you here. People, Seth Kung Fu Jobber. You know, the corporate people, I got them calling you Jobber.
No.
You know, in these meetings you guys do. Hey, Jobber. No, yeah.
I only job for you, buddy.
No, but you hear the inside scoop, bro. I'm going to put you on the spot. Why are you going to act like a jobber to me and act like, yeah, no, it's coming. It's coming. My fans are going to get angry. They hate you. My fans are starting to resent you anyway.
That's not true.
Nah, come on. They're starting to really hate you.
Really? Yeah, because you tell them to.
Freedom.
Frank Tesla's the only guy who loves you.
Love that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
love will find a way.
Yeah. No, but really, like, what can you give us so Taz don't look like a jerk any longer? I mean, we're close, right?
We're close. We're there. We're teetering. We're on the edge.
Oh, God.
It's really coming. I don't know. What do you want me to say?
Like, it's like drawing blood from a stone here.
I'm not allowed.
Neither am I.
Right.
Neither am I.
My hands are tied.
I mean, there's nothing else we can say to people.
It's going to be very cool. It's going to be revolutionary, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be different. If you're a wrestling fan, you're going to love this, right?
Right.
Even if you're not just a Taz fan, if you're a wrestling fan.
Wrestling fan.
Because I think I'm losing fans at every moment that I do a show.
I think I just passed you on Twitter.
Thanks. All right, look, on that note, I can't follow that. Can't follow Seth's Twitter account. All right, for Seth, I'm Taz. We'll get at you at the end of the week with a preview show of SummerSlam. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Thank you. I'm Taz. You're not. Goodbye.